Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and welcome to another in the pre-system teleseminar series. Every year before the system seminar, we do in-depth interviews with every one of our faculty members so you can get to know them, learn a little bit about their specialty, take away some ideas that you can apply to your business right away, and learn about what they're going to be covering at System 2008. This year's System 2008 will be held in Chicago, May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. For more information, go to thesystemseminar.com. Welcome, James Martell.
Hey, good morning, Ken.
I took a trip, road trip this year, and one of the cities I made sure that I went to was Vancouver, British Columbia, where I'd never been before, but it's a legendary place in terms of internet marketing. Some of the great, great internet marketers, especially innovators, you know, not only people that have accomplished a lot, but people that have been innovators and great educators for some reason congregate there. Maybe it's because it's so beautiful, which I got a glimpse of when I was there. And James has been involved in internet marketing for quite a while now. He learned it sort of the hard way, the way we all do, coming from a very interesting background, carpentry and general contracting. And that was his first business, and then he applied that experience to building an internet business and also helping other people build their businesses. And we're going to talk about his background in that in just a second. James is probably best known for his work in affiliate marketing, you know, acquiring internet traffic and driving it to affiliate opportunities and earning commissions. And he's been very good at that. And also, again, the other point I want to stress is very good at transferring that skill to other people. So, James, you did start in the building industry.
I did, actually, when I got out of high school many years ago, back in 1980. I was looking for, you know, a career and somewhere to head, and not quite sure what to do with my life at the time. And my stepfather was a very skilled carpenter. And he showed me some things. And he was actually a teacher at one of the colleges as well. But more importantly, he was a very skilled carpenter, somebody that I'd watched build custom homes. And his specialty was very detailed, very extensive rafter cut roof, something that's a bit of an art form that's been lost since the building has been methodology has been changed over the years, but he was something, and he kind of gave me the desire to kind of head in that direction, and that's what I did. And for almost 15 years, I was a carpenter and eventually started my own company, became a general contractor. And but, you know, after doing it for so many years, and you're right, Vancouver is a very beautiful place, but in the spring and the fall around here, the weather can be quite wet. And mm-hmm. I just got to the point where I was tired of working out in the cold and the rain, and I figured, you know, something's got to change. I got to do something a little bit different here.
We have an extended interview with James on our System Club site, and System Club is an alumni group of people that have attended the System Seminar, and it's really a fascinating story. And unfortunately, we won't be able to get involved in all the twists and turns. But there were a lot. There were, you know, you created one business that was very successful, and then the technology changed, and all of a sudden you had to basically go back to the drawing board. You discovered the internet. You discovered affiliate marketing. Just, you know, before we actually get into some content, how far has affiliate marketing taken you? What can you tell people in terms of what you've achieved in that field? First for yourself, and then for your students.
Well, for myself and my wife and four kids, we've been at it for almost 10 years now. Coming up next year, it'll be our 10th year as full-time affiliates. And essentially what it's allowed us to do is not only work at home as a family, and we got the kids involved in the business, and they've basically grown up with the internet and watching us earn our incomes online. And it's allowed us to do a lot of things that we'd never had a chance to do before, which was, you know, one of the things that I really love to do is travel. So we've traveled the planet now, working on our computers, and, you know, we pack our laptops with us, and, you know, venturing into 10-day Caribbean cruises or off to Disney World or down to Disneyland or over to Maui, and trying to figure out just the number of trips that I've taken in the last 9 years, and it's got to be in the area of about 40 or 50. It's such a part of our life now that we think nothing of going to the airport and heading off somewhere.
Hey, I want to put in a plug for my favorite city these days, New Orleans. Especially in the winter, the weather's great, and it's actually kid-friendly, even though people wouldn't think that. A lot of great museums, a lot of things for kids to do, and just great culture. Just want to throw that in there. Hey, you know, for people, some people may be really new to all this, so maybe we should just define what it means to be a full-time or even a part-time affiliate marketer. What is an affiliate marketer? What do you guys do?
Essentially, affiliate programs or affiliate marketing is really a simple concept. It's basically a relationship between one website owner and another. And typically, one of the websites will be a business of some sort that sells a product, and they're looking for other websites to refer customers to them, and in return for the customer, they will pay them a commission. So it's one of these industries that kind of almost started by accident back in mid to late 90s, and it just became such a powerful method of marketing because there's really not a lot of risk for the merchant, because they don't have to pay a commission to the affiliate until they actually get a customer, which also leads to more commission for the affiliate because the merchant themselves don't have a lot of outlay, so they can actually pay a lot higher commission than they would normally. So you can find products out there and services, very simple things like a website called allposters.com where they'll have posters and prints for sale on their website. And they want other websites on the internet that, you know, maybe represent those products, can send customers to them. And every time we send a customer over to a company like allposters.com, they'll simply just pay us a commission for every referral that we send to them. And if we work on it and we really can send them a lot of traffic and a lot of business, we can actually earn a substantial amount of money doing that. And the real beautiful thing about the affiliate side of the equation is we let the merchant handle all the customers, so we don't have to deal with the day-to-day dealings of customer service and shipping of products and billing, and we let them handle that. And all our role in the relationship is to simply come up with creative ways to send them targeted traffic so that we can get paid those commissions.
Gotcha. So one of the core skills for an affiliate marketer is the ability to get traffic and drive it to his partners.
Yes, and there's obviously a variety of ways to do that, and it's evolved and it's changed over the years. But one of the things that I have been quite good at ever since we got started was learning how to get that natural search traffic, you know, how to get to the top of the list in Google. And it's changed a few times over the year, but we've always managed to figure out exactly what we need to do to get to the top. And the nice thing about natural search traffic, especially for somebody that's just getting started in the business, it doesn't cost any money to get that free traffic if you know how to do the work. And you can take your page of content, migrate it up through the rankings, get it up to the top of Google, which is, you know, I guess everybody probably, it's a household word now. But just the sheer volume of traffic from a great natural search campaign is substantial.
Gotcha. And in that case, the investment is what I call cyber shoe leather. You know, you have to learn a skill and then tend to your SEO strategies and tactics and watch your site rise up. So that's clearly an important skill, and I guess Google really just turns out to be the 800-pound gorilla in search these days.
Yeah, by far Google is definitely that. It's interesting. I've watched it evolve over the years. When I got started back in '99, they weren't even on the radar screen. They were around, but nobody had ever heard of them really. We were focused on search engines called Excite.com and AltaVista and WebCrawler, and that's where we got all our natural search traffic. And then towards the end of 2001, somebody sent me an email, says, hey, check this out, and I clicked on the link, and this was the very first time I'd actually landed on the Google homepage. And I remember how, you know, refreshing it was, because it was just this stark white page with the Google logo and a little search box. And over the years, Google's real claim to fame is their ability to serve up extremely relevant search results, unlike the other ones, which have pretty much fallen by the wayside. So now getting to getting into Google and kind of it's one of these skills that anybody that's on the internet, in my opinion, should understand the basics of getting to the top of the world's largest search engine, most trafficked search engine in the planet, where you can get the free traffic. And by doing that, once you understand how to do it, and it's really not that difficult. It's one of those things that if you just knew a few little strategies to do it, and there's no games, we don't play any games, or we don't fall into any of the traps that some might, but we really, once you get up to the top of the list, a little bit of maintenance, that traffic can bring you, or that search results, those search results can bring you traffic for years and years and years.
But let's talk about, you referred to the games that some people play, and I think this is especially, particularly for beginners, this is a really important topic. There are all kinds of ways to get to the top of the search engines, and some of them are smiled upon by Google.
Yes.
And some of them are in direct violation of Google's terms of service. And the trick, I guess, is there are quite a few people that, and those are typically called black hat techniques. And I guess it kind of falls under the realm of spamming in a sense, except instead of spamming individuals, you're spamming search engines. And it does work, but it puts you in a bad place, especially if you intend to be in business for a while. Google, you know, for instance, spammers, you know, old school traditional spammers, of which there are still way too many, will mail millions of people and then, you know, make as much money as they can until their websites are shut down, and then go to the next server, always under assumed names. I mean, it's just it must be a hellish existence, really, to live that way and do business that way.
I can't imagine it.
I mean, but yet we know these people exist. It's a whole underworld of them. And there's a similar group of people involved in the search engine business, and same thing. They'll create a site under an assumed name. They'll do all kinds of kind of nefarious things to get to the top of the search engine rapidly, and then when they get detected and banned, they just throw the they throw the name away and they start again under a new name. And so we're focusing on this is you will encounter this sort of training in a lot of places, and be very aware that if first of all it's not the right way to do it, and I'm just going to talk strictly about business reasons. So many business reasons, it's the wrong way to do it. But from a practical point of view, if you ever do anything like that under your own name and under your own business name, you may find yourself banned from Google. They won't even index your sites. So it's very important when you do learn this stuff to learn it the right way. Are there any big important concepts that you can convey about search engine optimization to our audience today, things that they can actually start thinking about and start applying to their sites?
It's really quite simple these days. The beautiful thing about Google, especially, we don't really talk too much about Yahoo and MSN anymore because Google's just that 800-pound gorilla, as you said. And a lot of the techniques that we use with Google work with the other ones anyways, and they're so hard working to catch up. But essentially, to get ranked in Google, it really boils down to what Google is amazing at these days is understanding a great page of content. So if you forget about the search engines when you're creating your content, you really can have a big advantage of getting ranked at the search engines because Google understands language, they understand semantic indexing and all the crazy words that they understand, but they understand real language and they understand word association. So what I do when I want to get highly ranked at Google, for example, I'm working on a page right now on one of my sites about Shelby Cobras and Prince. So in order to create a page of content, first off, you want to have it be unique. It has to be unique, unlike anything else out on the Internet. It should be well-researched. It should be story-based. Google loves names and places and real experiences. If you have a real story that you can share with somebody, Google gobbles that up. In the case of, I've got a little site called kitcarconnection.com where we're working on a page. We call it a product page where we represent our merchant. And what we do with this page is we sit down, and my wife and I did this. We were actually driving over to see my mother in the city. And we wanted to come up with a little story for this page where we could create a story around the purchasing of a Shelby Cobra print for myself. And to make a long story short, we kind of had some fun with this, and we worked back and forth. And we came up with all the reasons why somebody would want a print like myself. I'm a big fan of the Shelby Cobra. I would love to have one on my wall. And my birthday was coming up, and we just kind of talked about this entire story of how Arlene could go onto allposters.com. She could find the posters and the print, and then she just researched it. She went and found all the details of the posters, you know, all of the experience that she had placing the order, and then just creating this really nice page of content that just tells this story. It's got, we don't really focus so much on keywords anymore, because if you properly do the research on the pages are naturally keyword rich. And then once you have this page, it's typically 600, 800 words in length, few images, really, really well, typically what any business would do, or any, if you think about when you're writing your content for the web, forget about search engines and pretend you're writing for a local magazine. And if you can get into that mindset where you're really visitor-focused and you're writing to serve the needs of the person that's landing on the page, and you set the search engines aside, and you add the photos and the, maybe we put a little audio on there from a message from my wife to the visitor, and if you really focus in on the visitor, Google will reward you for that, and because they understand the language and they know what a extremely well-written page of content looks like.
Gotcha, gotcha. Now let's look at another issue in all this, which is, you know, there are all kinds of affiliate programs, and there's all kinds of search activity going on. How do we pick our opportunities? If we're from a business point of view, we will probably talk about this a little bit later, which is that ultimately you want to find an area to market that you have a personal passion for. And this is a discovery we all make eventually. You know, we start, we learn different things, we get entranced by the technology and the tactics, and then we discover, gee, I can actually do what I like to do with this stuff. And sometimes it takes
only
a while. It
took me 8 years to figure that out, Ken.
Okay, you too. So it took you 8 years to realize that, and I'd be hard pressed to calculate how many it was for me, but it was way more than eight. So we'll talk about that issue in a second. But if we're just looking at the dollars and cents of this, how do you evaluate an affiliate opportunity? What kinds of things do you look at? Because there are clearly affiliate opportunities that, you know, maybe may not be worth pursuing. Maybe the traffic's too thin, or maybe the payoffs are too meager. What do you advise people to look at? Since this is ultimately at the end of the day a business.
One of the things that I do right up front when I'm looking at, you know, a potential merchant, we call them merchants or advertisers because they're going to give us the creative to put on our site so we can move the visitor through to them. One of the big things that I look at once I start to narrow it down, so if I've got an idea, for example, I want to sell Shelby Cobra prints, so I'll head over to Google, type in a keyword phrase, Shelby Cobra prints affiliate program, and then anybody that has an affiliate program that are selling those prints will come up in the list. What I do to evaluate them is a number of things. One of the things is I get on the phone and I call the affiliate manager. And if I can get an affiliate manager who is responsive, who will answer the call, work with me over the phone, because nobody knows their product better than them. They know it way better than I. So I can sit down there and I can start to ask some questions about things like conversion rate. One of the things before I want to know before how much is the commission rate, I want to know how is your conversion rate. So how many visitors do I have to send you, typically targeted traffic, in order to convert a sale? So if they can be forthright and share this kind of information with me, and I have a really attentive guy on the or gal on the other end of the line, that's a big plus for me. Because unfortunately in the affiliate world, there are some, we call them, you know, affiliate managers that are missing in action. They don't return calls, they don't return emails, and we just move on from them. It's like we don't want to deal with them, because we want somebody who will help us. The affiliate manager's role in this is to help us, and they're usually representing major corporations, everybody from Microsoft to Symantec to just right down the list down to major corporations, and they have budgets, and their affiliate program is one of their marketing channels, and if they've got a budget for the marketing channel that we happen to be in, affiliate programs, They can also supply us with content and video and audio. So the relationship with that affiliate manager is everything. So once you have that, then you can start asking them the important questions, conversion rate, commission rate, and then start working from there. Once you have that in place, then we do a little bit of keyword research to see how competitive the topic is. Are we getting into a topic that is just ferociously competitive? And if it is, we may back out of it. It's just not worth it because there's so many topics that are not that competitive. So we just kind of begin a little bit of research. It doesn't usually take too long, but you usually know by talking to the affiliate manager, and then that little bit of keyword research will be the good beginnings of making that final decision.
I really like that as a screen, and I can't believe I never thought of that myself. It would have saved me a lot of grief. Using as a filtering device, only doing business with people who have engaged and responsive affiliate managers. That just makes so much sense that I'm embarrassed to say that never occurred to me. It just makes sense because if the company cares enough to have an affiliate manager, and B, to put somebody in that slot that's actually doing his or her job, that's a very good sign because it means A, they care, and B, they're generating enough revenue to be able to pay that person's salary, which means there must be something financially good about their offer.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And when you get those guys, they're like gold, and they're a business partner of you, and they will help you. And they've got a vested interest in making sure you succeed because, like any employee, and these are typically employees of large companies, they've got a boss to answer to. And at the end of the week, when they want to see how are we doing for sales this week, they can talk about the affiliates that are performing. So if you're one of those guys who are helping them accomplish their goal, of course they're going to help you.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned a phrase that may be new to some people, and even people that are familiar with it could probably benefit from hearing you describe it, which is keyword research. When we talk about keyword research, I guess what we're saying is, well, first of all, it's probably important for everyone to know that when you optimize a page, when you're trying to get a page to rank highly in the search engines, you're really optimizing for a particular keyword or keyword phrase. Is that right?
That's correct. And typically, there's three areas of keyword research that should be done on a website. And sometimes people have a tendency to mix them all together and try to do it all at once, and then they kind of get confused and lost as to how these keywords actually relate to the page of content that they're creating. And one of the things that we work on here is a little saying we have: think pages, not sites. Search engines don't rank websites. Search engines rank web pages. Web pages are found by keyword searches.
I don't want to interrupt you, James, but I want to just – that is one of the most key things that you just said. And the reason I want to highlight is because I can't believe the number of people who know a little bit about search engines who keep talking about my site ranks high. Your site doesn't rank high. Page ranks high.
That's right.
Individual pages rank high for specific keywords. And if somebody is coming to you and telling you that they're going to get your site to rank high, they have just told you that they don't know what they're doing.
That's right. Run.
You probably as well aware of it as I am that there's just a lot of not so great advice out there. So one of the things to have your ear tuned for if you're going to deal with anybody around SEO, if they're going to advise you or if they're going to provide you with services, is if they're talking about ranking your site there back in 1993 or something, they're way too they're off the boat. So I'm sorry I interrupted you in the flow of what you were saying, but I just thought that this is just so important, especially for beginners to grasp this.
So, absolutely, right. And it's one of those things. Somebody will come to me on the flip side of that and say, my site's not ranking. And you can just hang on a second here. Specifically, which page on your website isn't ranking and for what keyword isn't not ranking for? And then once you start working on the think pages, not sites, idea, it really gets to be simple. And then when it comes to keyword research, if you break the keyword research, we break it down into three places. We break the keyword research down into what's going on the actual page of content you're creating, number one, and that's a whole separate topic in itself. Number two is what keywords are you going to be using to get ranked naturally in the search results? That's number two. And number three is what keywords are you going to actually, if you're going to get into the paid search arena, what keywords do you want to rank for in the paid search results? So to begin, though, when it comes to working on the page, it's called on-the-page optimization. If you spend your time, as we talked earlier, researching the topic that you're writing about, and developing the content around that. I'll give you an example. My wife, I'm working with her to put together a little site that she's building around the world of epilepsy, and it's about her story and our son's story, and she's wanting to put this little website together. And we're sitting down with her, and I'm going through it with her, and one of the very first things we do, and this may not sound like keyword research, but actually it completely relates to it, is we work on getting into the mind of the visitor who's going to be visiting our website prior to ever even getting into the keyword phrases. So I start to talk to her about who her visitor is going to be. And again, we did this in one of these. We do a lot of this in the car as we're driving around. It's like, okay, so you want to put together a site about epilepsy for moms to help them, you know, learn some of the stuff that you've learned over the years. So I'll be quizzing her, and I got a little quiz that I go, so who's your visitor? And she'll say, well, and it's, you know, they stumble on it for a while. Well, finally she got down to the point where it's probably mostly moms, dads, grandparents, and close relatives. Okay. What are they, when they're searching on Google, because we're getting back to keywords, where are they at emotionally? How are they feeling? Well, if they've got a son or a daughter who's dealing with epilepsy, they're probably frustrated, and they're a little bit desperate, they're scared, maybe they just had a diagnosis, they're worried, they're feeling hopeless and overwhelmed, very anxious. And then we get into, okay, so those two questions are answered. What problem are they attempting to solve? And then, and this is fun because we're going, it's not really a fun topic, but it's an important topic, but it's a fun exercise. So, well, the problems she's attempting to solve is, because she's kind of determined that it's mostly moms, conflicting advice from doctors and friends and family. They want to know what the long-term prognosis is. Maybe they're not seeing any results with the treatment plan they're currently in, and they're looking at other treatment options, and we're kind of getting all these things down on paper when we realize the problem they're attempting to solve is they want to stop the seizures. So they're looking to control or stop the seizures. So that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And in about 40 minutes of going through this kind of dialogue back and forth, we come up with this list of information so we now really know who the visitor is. Once we have that, then we can go about getting into more of the research as what we need to do to serve that visitor. Because if we know the mom's going to be on the page and they're desperate, worried, and frustrated about their child who has epilepsy, she now knows she can serve them. And within that little exercise, there's all kinds of keywords that just naturally occur. Treatment options, seizure control, long-term prognosis, conflicting advice. There's stuff for the headlines. Are you feeling desperate, scared, and worried? Are you looking for solutions for, I mean, it just kind of, everything pours off the page from this little document that you can create in about 30 or 60 minutes just sitting down with somebody and chatting about the topic that you're getting into. That's the beginning of the keywords. And again, we don't worry about the keywords that are going to end up on the page to begin, because if you do the research, as we found, the keywords will naturally occur. In her case, she does do some keyword research. She uses Jim Morris's NicheBot, and she goes in and she kind of figures out a few keywords that she's going to include with it, and one of them would be children with epilepsy, which she would include within the text, but that actually happened anyways by the time she got through the research. So
it came up at the research stage.
That's right.
That's fascinating because the method that you're using, I like it. It's very simple. And it also, and you probably know this, it also generates all the material you'll ever need to write the actual page itself and write any ad copy that you might be inclined to write. I mean, the very same questions that you're asking to generate keywords are the same questions that a good copywriter would ask. So this is fascinating to me. I mean, I guess I never really think of it this way, but search engine optimization is a matter of language. You're trying to find the natural language that people use when they're thinking about a problem or searching for solutions to a problem. And then I guess what you do is how do you figure out which phrases are the big guns, though? I mean, there must be phrases that generate a lot of traffic, that tend towards high levels of conversion. And you know, if all things being equal and given the world of limited resources, you probably want to have some way to identify what the most promising keywords are, so that when you sit down and create a page, you're aware of that. You know, when you sit down to write a page to generate traffic for a particular phrase, you want to pick the phrases that are going to give you the most bang for your buck, so to speak. So is there a method you have to say, ooh, this, you know, this, I found, you know, 200 possible keyword searches or keyword phrases. Here's the ones that are going to give me the most reaction. Is there a way to do that? The way you
essentially what we do in the three-part way we look at keywords, when we're working on the page and we've created that page of content, we don't really look too much, hardly at all, sometimes not at all, to the keyword research tools, because what we're most interested in is what is this page about. And in Arlene's case, it was about children with epilepsy. And then we create the content with no emphasis at all to the search engine. Nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
That's amazing. I mean, you realize, James. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, then, though, where these research tools come in, like NicheBot, is in the next two phases. Because once that page of content is created, and if somebody was to just purely focus in on the visitor and create that page and forget about keywords, I guarantee the keywords will be in there, because they have to be, because that's what the page is about. Now, when it comes to getting that page of content ranked highly in the search results, then you go to NicheBot and you run a keyword report. So if the page of content was children with epilepsy, head over to NicheBot, do a keyword research report on that, and up come all the different permutations of that word, children with epilepsy, child with epilepsy, kids with epilepsy, which is what your page is about. So then what you need to do, in order to get ranked highly in the natural search results, is you need to get a few, only a few, maybe 8 or 10 other search engine trusted websites on the internet linking back to your page using all of these different permutations of the keyword phrase child with epilepsy. And then you get those other trusted sites linking to your great page of content that is about children with epilepsy. Google understands that if there's 8 or 10 other trusted search engine or trusted websites on the internet linking to your great page of content, they'll say naturally, this is a great page of content that's obviously about these keyword phrases because these trusted websites are linking to us. And we know this, we know language, and we know this is a page about children with epilepsy. So let's rank it for all of the words that relate to this topic.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Once that's done... Sorry, then there's the third angle, which is the paid search results, which you then head back to NicheBot and you run another keyword report for your paid search results all around the same topic, and they'll be very similar, sometimes identical, to the keyword list that you created for your natural search traffic, and then you buy that traffic in Google AdWords or however you'd like to do it, typically AdWords, and then you point all that traffic at that same page of content.
Gotcha. Now, when it comes to paid search, that's where you have to be really meticulous, because otherwise you might be buying keywords that don't convert very well, or you might be spending too much money. I guess the issue is money, really.
Yes.
So how do you make sure that you're using only the best phrases for your paid search?
Well, one of the nice things about starting off with the page of content and then working into the natural search results, If you learn how to get ranked naturally first, which is something I highly recommend because it'll teach you to work with keywords, once you start getting the traffic to that page and you start to understand who your visitor is and what the conversion rate is and what keywords are actually converting from the natural search results, they will you can pretty much just marry those over into the paid results, and you'll know. And you just kind of you do this with a little bit of work with NicheBot and those keyword research tools. We use Google Analytics, which is a free tool that most people probably are aware of now who've been around a while. But for somebody that's brand new, Google's got a beautiful basically statistics package that we can add to our website that gives us about 300 different reports of each of the visitors that come into the site. So if you work on the natural traffic first, which is low risk because you don't have to pull your credit card out to buy that traffic, once you have the traffic, you can measure it and monitor it and tweak it. And we do little surveys and stuff on the page to kind of really hone it down. And once you have a page that converts well, then you can start to move over into paid search. And then there's a few tools that you can pick up to really monitor which keywords are converting, and so you're not wasting money.
Great. Well, let's talk a little bit about conversion and what that means. It's one of the there's probably only two essential topics in internet marketing. Fortunately, there's a lot of detail, but it all boils down to traffic, and that's what we've been talking about for most of the call so far is natural search traffic. But then there's this other term that's equally as important, which is conversion. So for people that may be new to this, what are we talking about when we're talking about conversion?
In the example of allposters.com and the Shelby Cobra prints, what I need to determine next, because the page of content is finished on the website, but I don't know how well it's going to convert. I've got a little bit of an idea because I know some people who market products for them, and I already know they have a good conversion rate because I've heard this from third parties. Plus, I've talked to the affiliate manager. But ultimately, though, I still don't know personally on my own site because every site and every page is different. I don't know how well my page is going to convert. And by converting, I mean the visitor comes onto the page, they hit the page, what happens next? Because it's one thing to get the traffic, but it's a whole other thing as to moving that visitor through a funnel or through a path to get them to actually take the action that you want. So within that is the art form of the internet or the art form of marketing in general, I would guess, where now that they hit the page, what happens? Do they hit the back button? Do I have a headline that's not matching up with the keyword that they search on? Am I not fulfilling their needs? Did I not capture their attention? Because everybody knows where that back button is. And once they hit the page once, you really may never see them again. So we got to be sharp. So is the headline compelling? Does it draw them into the text? Is the copy well written? Is it interesting? Is it going to serve their needs? Do they get that aha moment? Maybe I'm on a page that I have actually found what I'm looking for. And as they go through the copy, strong call to action, what you want them to do, as little clutter as possible. I see so many websites that are so distracting and there's so many places to click. And then they wonder why the visitor's not converting. It's because you've given them 15 different options. So conversion rate really boils down to, is the visitor going to, when they hit the page, can you bring them through? In our case, as affiliates, where they're going to click on that merchant link, go over to the merchant and actually purchase so we can get paid the commission.
Gotcha. And it may come to be a surprise to some people that are new to this, but it's key to our business, which is all this is trackable, right? You don't have to guess.
Everything's trackable. That's the beautiful thing about the tools that we have available to us, that once the traffic is hitting the page, if you study it and you learn how to understand where they're going on your site, and there's just a variety. Google's got a tool set that is relatively easy to learn how to use, and it's free. And if you understand what your visitor's doing and you can continue to improve your page and you increase your conversion rate. Nice thing about conversion rate is if you are converting at half of 1%, you know, half of a visitor or one visitor out of every 200 people who land on the page, and you're earning, you know, $1,000 a month, if you can increase your conversion rate by 0.5%, you can increase your income by 100% just by
getting that extra little bit. That's such a good point. And, you know, that's something that we used to talk about years and years ago, and I think we've kind of fallen out of the habit of pointing that out to people. I'm glad you brought that up. It's such a basic, and if you don't mind, I'm going to I'm going to go over that because it's a big one. Why do we go into business? We go into business to hopefully, you know, use our intelligence to, you know, maximize our income, or at least, you know, make enough income, make the income we need so that we don't have to run around and do a whole lot of other stuff to make income. And one of the beauties of the internet is you can actually see pretty clearly, it's almost like an x-ray, into exactly how well your business is doing. And one of the numbers that you're checking all the time is how good is your conversion, how many people who come to your site end up doing the thing that you want them to do, whether it's opt-in, you know, giving you their email address, or whether it's buying a product, or whether it's clicking on an affiliate link and buying a product. And James made this really critical point, which is that once you've got a baseline and you know what your conversion rate is for any given action, you can make stupendous improvements in practical things like your income by making tiny improvements in your conversion. And I love that example of if only one half of 1% is converting and that's making you money, all you need to do to double your income is get the conversion rate up to 1%, because that's 100% increase from 0.5% to 1%. That's a really vivid example of all this. Most serious affiliate companies or companies offering affiliate relationships have pretty good tracking tools right there. You can see how many visitors you sent to them. You can see what the conversion rate is. You can see what your income is. So that's good. But then, James, you referred to another tool called Google Analytics.
Google Analytics is kind of the beginning of the relationship with your visitor, because once we get them on our – you're right, the merchant does provide us with great tools at their end, but that only occurs after the click, and they go to the merchant. Google Analytics lets us measure everything prior to them actually making the click and heading off to the merchant. And
gotcha.
I was actually at PubCon, Webmaster World's PubCon, a couple years ago when Google announced that they were going to have Google Analytics and they were going to be offering it for free. And they just bought out a company that had developed this software who was charging $1,500 a month per website for this analytics package. And here Google comes along, buys them for $30 million, and decides to offer it to all of us for free. So it's one of these tools that would typically cost you about $18,000 a year. Just a couple years ago, and now you have the power of that for no out of money, no out of pocket expenses whatsoever.
One of our faculty members this year, Timothy Seward, is one of the leading experts on Google Analytics, and he has a company that does nothing but teach businesses, large and small, how to use Google Analytics at a very high level. And Timothy was actually involved in the launch of Google Analytics. He was a certified, I forget what the designation is, but Google certifies people to train and basically to train people and
okay.
provide services. And he was one of the early generation of those folks, and he was actually called to a meeting with just a small handful of other certified people, and they unveiled Analytics and said, hey, this is going to be coming out and we want you to be ready, and we want people like you who are already working with our clients to develop training programs so that, you know, they can, you know, understand how to use it and get the most out of it and so on. So Timothy's been involved in Google Analytics since the beginning, and as James pointed out, this is a really critical tool. This lets you track all the way from Google to your page, and then the affiliate companies software lets you track what happens after the visitor clicks on your page. So you're really between what the affiliate company offers and what Google Analytics offers. You can literally follow somebody from the time they click on a keyword on Google to the time they come to your site and click on your link, and then track everything they do. Not everything, but you can track the important stuff they do on the other side. Do they buy? Do they not buy? And you get these great numbers, and the pivot point where you have a lot of control. We have control over two things. You have control over your search engine strategy, and I think James has laid out this as clearly as anybody ever has. So you've got a lot of control there, but you also have a lot of control over what your pages look like, so that when somebody does click on a search engine listing and they arrive at your page. There's all kinds of things you can do to increase your conversion so more and more people click on the link. And then it's up to the conversion strategies of your partner on the other end to, you know, do the best that they can to sell, which takes this full circle to what you were saying at the very beginning of this process, is do your homework before you hook up with a company and represent them. Make sure they have an affiliate manager. Make sure the affiliate manager answers the phone. Make sure the affiliate manager has tools and advice and data to help you in your task. And, you know, I think we've done a really good job here of explaining the whole process of affiliate marketing, for especially for people for whom this is brand new. But, you know, it's been a very good review for me, and I learned a couple of things along the way. James has had, in addition to the success he's had in developing a business that allows him to live the way he wants to live, which for many of us, that's the goal. We're not necessarily trying to build vast empires. We're very happy just being free. And,
yes.
And if travel, you know, kind of travel is our the thing that we love, being able to take, you know, 10 trips a year if we want. But not only has he done that for himself, he's been an extremely effective teacher over the years, and I think everybody listening to this call can see that and is not surprised at the results he's gotten. It's interesting to know that did you say it was your stepfather who was a teacher as well as a carpenter?
Yeah, he was a teacher.
Okay, so I guess you absorbed some of his approach towards teaching people too, because you've got a great track record of training people. I know once someone mentioned to me that in the old days when Commission Junction had a two-tier affiliate program,
mm-hmm.
that you used to bring a pretty good percentage of the people that would show up at Commission Junction events were actually people that you trained and you were working with.
Oh, it was absolutely. Even Affiliate Summit that we just came back from last week, we had probably, I'd say, 25, 30 different students down there attending the event, and it's always good to get to meet them all face-to-face. It's always it's a good thing. And, over the years, CJ and CJU, an event I've attended every year since 2002, same thing.
Great. And there's this whole, you know, affiliate marketing is it uses all the tools of internet marketing that we're all familiar with, but it's a world, in a sense, it's a world unto itself. It has its own conventions and its own trade shows and its own infrastructure of people, like affiliate managers. And James is just the ideal person to introduce you to this world and guide you through it and get you up and running successfully with no wrong turns and as quickly as possible. You're going to be one of our faculty members this year in Chicago, May 30th, 31st, and June 1st at System 2008, and you'll be teaching a session. Can you just give a little thumbnail sketch of the kinds of things you'll be talking about in the formal session?
We're going to be talking about affiliate programs and how you can use them to replace your income. So if somebody's looking to become free, as you say, and I agree with completely, it's a beautiful business to do that because the merchant does 90% of the work. We just need to learn how to send them the traffic. So we're going to talk everything from how to build a page of content that ranks highly at the search results. And one of the things with the Think Pages, Not Sites concept, one page of content on a well-positioned website with the right merchant that can convert can earn a substantial amount of money. So we're not talking about having to build large, large websites. We're going to get into natural search traffic, how to get highly ranked at Google, how to think pages, not websites. We're going to talk about a few, maybe probably a couple of merchant examples and some real hands-on strategies on how to truly get into the mind of your visitor. So when your visitor lands on your page, they're on a page that they instantly realize is exactly what they're looking for, so you can get out of the gate with a decent conversion rate right off the bat, so you can start earning revenue quickly and work on increasing that conversion so you can increase your income as well.
Great. Well, I am so pleased that you're going to be on the faculty joining us this year. It's such an important part of the internet business, and I can't think of anybody better to explain the affiliate marketing side of internet marketing.
Well, thank you, and I do really appreciate the invite, and really enjoyed the system seminar last year in Chicago. It was an absolutely fabulous event, so I'm actually going to bring my wife with me this year, and she's going to take it in as well.
Oh, great, great. Hayes is going to be one of 25 faculty members this year, each one picked for two qualities. One, we're looking for people that are at the top of their game, you know, whatever it is they do, and of course, the Internet's gotten specialized since, you know, everybody has a particular thing that they do very well, and so we want someone to be the, you know, right at the top of their specialty. In James's case, affiliate marketing. We'll also have experts in pay-per-click advertising, experts in internet video, experts in Web 2.0 marketing. We'll have an expert on Google Analytics. We'll have experts on info marketing, experts on how to sell physical products, experts on how to sell consulting services, experts on how to create coaching programs, and I know I'm leaving a lot of stuff out because experts on how to do really fine-tuned keyword research, if that's important to your business. So we're going to have 25 faculty members, and again, the first thing is we want them to be at the top of their game, and the second thing is we want them to be people who are good teachers, you know, whether they're formally trained as teachers or not. Actually, we have one fellow who's a PhD in education. He'll be teaching the pay-per-click section. He just also happens to be a good pay-per-click guy. But whether they're formally trained as teachers or not, we want them to have a teacher spirit, and James really exemplifies that. Make things clear, keep things simple, you know, help people along. Don't you know, befuddle them and confuse them with complicated strategies that don't even work. Instead, focus on the simple and the proven and the fundamental. And then the other related to that is we do everything we can, and we've been pretty successful at making this an egalitarian event, for lack of a better word. We honor our faculty members. We're you know, very pleased and grateful to have them. But nobody's on a high horse at our seminars. We feel that everybody who walks in the door is coming in with something valuable. You know, and by the way, it's been proven over and over again. Some people walk in beginners, and 2 or 3 years later, they become leaders in the industry. So we've learned that you know, we're all basically, you know, some of us may know a little bit more about certain aspects of internet marketing. Some of us may have been at it for a little longer, but that doesn't, you know, put us on a different level. And so there's a lot of interaction between attendees and even brand people with the faculty members. The faculty stays throughout the event. It's not one of these things where people fly in, do their 20-minute speech, and fly out. Faculty are here to learn as well. I mean, it's a huge field, and it's an exciting field, and it's a fun field, and we're all looking for good opportunities to learn more about it and meet colleagues and make new friends, and that's really what System 2008 is about. Again, it's in Chicago, May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. If you can make it, if it's right for you, we'd love to have you. If I may be bold, I'd say it should really be the first place that you go when you're starting to look into internet marketing. But if you can come, and I realize the fact of life is the majority of people listening to this call, for one reason or another, won't be able to make it to this event. I want to encourage you to really take advantage of all these free teleseminars we're doing. I think this one's just a great example of how much good information you can get in a very short period of time. I mean, James distilled 10 years of hard-won experience into less than an hour, and we aspire to do that on all these calls. So you can actually really get a full seminar plus, because we have 25 faculty members each doing their own teleseminar, and most full-blown seminars don't have you know, that much content. And we're giving this away, and don't think because we're giving it away that, oh, well, it's not really the good stuff. A whole lot of the good stuff was shared on this call. So, again, if there's good reason for you to be with us in Chicago, we'd love to have you there. But one way or another, take advantage of the stuff we're sharing. Use it. Practice it. And I want to close with this. We had a student, and there may be others, but this is one that actually identified himself, who was able to make enough money to equal and then double his normal salary, which allowed him to quit his job, and go full-time internet marketing and get deep into the six figures, and all from these free teleseminars we do. And then he came to the seminar later because he said, God, I felt so guilty. I've never given you a penny. I just wanted to shake your hand and thank you. And this year he's going to break seven figures in sales. So there's a lot of material here. This is, I think James will concur, this is a great field. I think it's the perfect business for us, the little guy. It's all a matter of getting educated and then applying that education. And I'm so glad there are people like James out there who take the time to not only figure it out, but also to make it clear and comprehensible to the rest of us. So, James, again, thanks so much. We'll see you in Chicago.
Thank you, Ken. Much appreciated.
Thank you. And for people who want to look at what we're doing in greater detail, go to thesystemseminar.com, and you can read the letter, see what the current price is. And I do want to point out the price goes up all the time. We let the first seats out very reasonably, and then we just keep cranking the price up as we get closer to the event. So there's a tremendous incentive to look seriously at this right now and see if it's for you. And if it is, there's definite financial incentive to take care of it now and get a seat. Great. So, James, we'll see you in Chicago, and thanks again.
Good, Ken. Look forward to seeing you there.
Okay. Bye-bye.